It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time, and probably is the right time for some of the legal advice. What are we talking about today?
Well, good morning, Ben. Wes and I are both here Tuesday after the week of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Today we'd like to talk about what might be called some aftermath issues, some mm-hmm. legal aftermath issues of this storm. There are some things that I think all of us need to be a bit cautious about. Wes and I would also like to invite any of our listeners to, we've already had some inquiries at the office in terms of certain legal related issues mm-hmm. As a result of this storm, and we are more than willing to kind of be a ground zero for questions and answers.
Good.
Sometimes people just want to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
So Wes and I invite you listeners to give us a call at the office, and we will answer your question without any charge. I need to make that clear.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say here, is that we would be willing to do that. And sometimes that maybe is all it is. It's just an answer to a question. It doesn't need to evolve from there.
Right. And of course, if you'd like to ask a question now, you can do that at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
We're here now, but I'm saying after the program Ben, and through the next week or so, if you have anyone call in, you could direct them and we'll be glad to help them, you know, free of charge with regard to answering their questions.
Mm-hmm.
So Wes, what are some of the things that we want to remind people to be aware of?
Well, I think the two big areas that we want to talk about today are going to be, number one, dealing with folks who may be providing services for cleanup or repair.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one issue. And the second issue would be insurance-related issues.
Right.
We know from storms here in the past, and, of course, we haven't had a storm that has been this bad here in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But we know from this, and we know from, you know, previous storms here and previous storms elsewhere, that, you know, things that happen after storms is sometimes, as it relates to repairs, construction that's necessary after the fact, you know, we have some folks come in potentially from out of town who may not have the best intentions.
Yeah.
In a word, maybe scammers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there will be some of that. It's already started, and that's just the way the world goes around, unfortunately, these
mm-hmm.
days. So we want to talk a little bit about what folks can do to attempt to protect themselves from finding themselves being duped by someone in a scam. Just some very basic information about that. If you can use someone who is local, someone obviously you have a relationship with already, I mean, that
mm-hmm.
would be number one.
Mm-hmm.
If you could use someone that's local and you can get references, then that would be preferable. We always like to see, obviously, a contract for any work that's being done.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say a contract, it doesn't have to be a 3-5 page document, just something simple indicating this is the scope of what's being done. You know, these 5 trees are being taken down. This, you know, whatever it may
be. This agreed upon price. And
this is the exact price.
Mm-hmm.
And then sign. I like to see that signed by both parties.
Mm-hmm.
So very simple. That can be, you know, something that's just a 1-page document, a proposal with all that information on it signed by the parties. We don't want to pay folks until the work is done.
Mm-hmm.
One of the common things that we see with scams, obviously, is we pay in advance for some reason, and then the person disappears. Well, you know, this person who is here from Alabama,
right?
You know, what are we really going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it becomes very difficult.
Because a lot of the times it involves, they say, well, I need so much money for materials.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes you run into an issue with that. I mean, obviously not so much with like tree removal,
mm-hmm.
potentially debris removal, yard cleanup, those kind of things, because we don't need materials. But if we're talking about construction, well, you could be involved in the actual purchase of the materials.
Right.
I mean, you can be involved in the fact that, you know, the person is going to the Lowe's or the Guy C. Lee or the Safeforts or wherever it may be, buying the materials, and you can actually go and pay for the materials so that you're not giving him money or her money that may disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, if a general contractor says you can't do that, well, you probably need to move on to the next GC.
Right.
You know, or if, you know, it's a $3,500 proposal, $2,500, then, you know, $750, you know, $950, $900, you know, some small deposit, but certainly not half
all of it,
or payment in full.
Right.
Because, you just don't know exactly who you're dealing with unless you are dealing with, as Wes mentioned, you know, someone that you've dealt with before, your contractor of choice before this storm, someone local that you've had a relationship with. But those folks are hard to get right now because they're so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of new people that are offering these kinds of repair services in our community. And those are the ones that we've got to be cautious about.
Right.
You can ask for references. That would be good. You know, the person should be able to give you some references. You should be able to make some phone calls and check behind the person.
If you get a contract license number, you can look that up.
That was the next on my list, of course. A lot of the folks who will be doing the minimal repairs are not required to be licensed. So the threshold in North Carolina is $30,000. If the job is over $30,000, then they're required to be a licensed general contractor, unless you're doing the work on your own house, but that's not what we're talking about today. So you can always check on the website, North Carolina General Contractors Licensing Board website, to check to see if this person is in good standing, to see if they are in fact a North Carolina General Contractor, licensed general contractor. So you can check in, you know, behind with regard to that, just to make sure that they are in fact licensed. You know, a lot of the people who are doing the smaller jobs obviously are not going to be licensed, the cleanup, those kind of things, because it's not required. We don't want to use cash if we can avoid it, because we like to have a paper trail, obviously, of what we've paid. We want to know exactly what we've paid. And if you can write on the memo section of the check what it's for, you know, one third work done, you know, whatever, some kind of description about where we are with regard to this.
Creating a paper trail.
That's right. Because not only do we potentially have a situation before us where there will be some fraud in the county, there'll be some scams in the county, there'll be those type things, there'll also be some misunderstandings. There just are when there's this much work that has to be done, there's going to be a misunderstanding. There's going to be situations where folks think, this is what you're going to do, and this is what I'm going to pay. Well, then we've been doing this program for 13 or 14 years. What do we always say? You go back to the paper.
Right.
So
right.
That's why we want it in writing. And that's why, in the event that you write a check, if you put some detail on the check about where we are and what it's for, then that would serve as some evidence too, as it relates to where we thought we were and, as it relates to paying for whatever the particular job is.
And getting receipts for work done is helpful too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So those are all very basic things. And where I think people make a mistake is that everyone wants their property cleaned up or fixed as soon as possible.
Yeah. Right.
And who doesn't? My goodness, we all want to get back to where we were before. That's just human nature. But take a breath, think about what you're doing. Don't get ahead of yourself. Remember these 3, 4, 5 things that we talked about here, and recognize that just, you know, a little bit of patience may go a long way in dealing with some of these issues.
Okay.
Another issue to be mindful about.
We've got a call, right?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Is, Ben, folks are having, you know, people work on their property. You know, maybe even high school kids.
Yeah, maybe church group coming over.
Young folks, or it doesn't matter what age they are. There are people out there that are picking up work, okay? Next thing you know, they're operating a chainsaw. Next thing you know, they're on top of a ladder. Be mindful of your potential liability with regard to these issues.
Yeah.
Be cautious about what you're allowing your workers on your property to do. Are they careful? Are they being responsible? Do you have, you know, a 19-year-old operating a powerful piece of equipment? So be cautious about these things. Use the reasonable person standard. You know, how have you operated a chainsaw before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been on roofs before? These are good questions to ask some of these folks that you might be having at your property for $10, $15, $12 an hour, $9 an hour, whatever mm-hmm. you're paying them. But we do know that a lot of those kinds of folks are out there now looking for work, okay? Yesterday at our office at Harvell and Collins, I happened to notice over to our neighbor, and I noticed a fella out there clearing trees and bushes and fences, and I thought to myself, you know, he really isn't able to do that physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy was, you know, not a young fella, and he was working hard to make some extra money. And I thought to myself, what if he injures his back? What if he, you know, lifting that fence, he didn't have any help with him? And of course, you know, my heart kind of went out to him a little bit, because I know that he was trying to make some extra money, but the likelihood of him being injured, he was over his head in what work he was trying to do, Ben.
Okay, we'll have more to come, and if you have questions, 800-818-2255, 247-7282-353-4674. You can also call on Harvell and Collins at 726-9050. As we said during this week, they'd be happy to answer your question for you, 726-9050, and we'll have more to come with Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And thank you for joining us here today with Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
So we're talking about the premises liability just very briefly. And, you know, this is it doesn't fit that well when we're talking about debris and trees down and all this type thing. Mm-hmm. Your typical premises liability situation is you have to act reasonably with regard to maintaining your property and keeping it safe. And in the event there's a latent defect, I mean, a sinkhole or something crazy like that, that maybe the average person wouldn't notice, you have a duty to warn. So keep that in mind. You have to act reasonably. But as we were talking about during the commercial there, you know, if someone came upon your property for purposes of cleaning up debris or cutting down a tree and they got hurt as a result of it, the likelihood that you would have liability for that, you know, they could sue you, but it would be a terrible case. They wouldn't get very far with that.
Because but I that's agree why with they what, came there.
But I exactly. I mean, obviously, they're assuming the risk. They know what they're doing as it relates to what the work is, and it doesn't really fit within a very clean premises liability situation. So, but use common sense, though.
I mean,
you know, if you see the 10-year-old out there with his dad using the chainsaw, let's walk out there and say, hey, let's dial this back a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't want someone to get injured on my property. So we do spend this issue of repairs and construction and cleanup and all that into the insurance side of things as well. You know, one thing that I've heard a lot here over the past week or so is I've been out with my church helping folks is that, well, I didn't know that I should go ahead and get the wet carpet out. I thought I had to leave it there so that the insurance
I've heard it both ways a lot of times.
Generally, the best rule of thumb, and now here we are 11 days out. So, you know, if there's wet carpet and wet sheetrock and wet insulation, then we're going to have mold. We're going to have issues. And I'm no expert with regard to mold. I'm just, it's pretty much common sense. We've gotten to the point where really we're at the professional stage as it relates to that. I mean, we don't want to expose ourselves to, you know, airborne mold spores that are going to create problems. But just for sake of conversation, within the first, you know, day, two, three, four, if we're talking about tearing out things that are wet, you don't have to wait, but you do need to document. You do need to take a video on your phone. You do need to take a bunch of photographs. because insurance company is very interested in you mitigating your damages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would like for you to act reasonably with regard to taking things out of the property so that this doesn't end up being a mold remediation project,
mm-hmm.
but instead it ends up being a construction repair. That's it.
Yeah.
So I know that information out there on the street, when my goodness, here in Carteret County, we didn't have anything as far as contact with the real world,
for a long period
of time.
Yeah.
TV, maybe a little bit of radio.
Mm-hmm.
Internet was down.
You had nothing. Yeah.
That's right. Internet's down. So it's hard to get that information out there, but, you know, document. You know, the other thing, we really got two sets of issues here with the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first set is obviously dealing with the repair of the actual property.
Right.
And most people in the county now know, if they didn't know before, that there's a big difference between your wind and hail insurance and your flood insurance.
Right.
The flood insurance is going to deal with issues such as storm surge where water's coming up,
mm-hmm.
and your wind and hail is going to deal with issues where we've had, my goodness, across the county, the failed roof systems or whatever it may be, and rainwater coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, if we didn't know before, we know now that's
right.
the way that works.
And your regular homeowners may not get involved a whole lot.
Well, a regular homeowner's is normally a fire policy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, normally you're dealing with fire, you know, related mm-hmm. issues. Those are other things that are covered. But if you have that wind and hail, then obviously that's going to be very important. And in most cases, if you have a mortgage on your property, then the bank is, or the lender is going to require you to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably will have that.
But Wes, I think we should just be out with it and say what Wes is saying is that the wind and hail will cover the default roof, the roof that failed for
right.
whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Wind and hail does not cover storm surge.
Right. Right.
So it depends where the source of the water is.
Mm-hmm.
Flood insurance will cover storm surge.
Mm-hmm. Water coming up.
Water coming up from ground.
Mm-hmm.
Water coming down and through roof systems and windows and other kinds of things that have failed as a result of mm-hmm. the wind. And now we're at a result where water's coming into the house. That would be covered under the wind and the hail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Again, if you would like to ask a question, 800-818-2255, 247-7282, 353-4674. More to come in a moment. All right, we do have a caller here to help round out the program. And who do we have on the line here?
We have Mike in Jacksonville. He has an issue with someone else's property damaging his property during the hurricane and how that works.
Someone damaging their property. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good. Fared well in the storm other than my neighbor's shed. Well, he's actually on the next court over. Flew into the house across from me, yard. And then the next gust of wind landed on my car. And so now I've got two cars that need total paint job because this metal shed just rode across them during the whole storm. So is that my property insurance or is that their property insurance? How does this work?
Well, it probably falls under your collision on your vehicle, I would say.
We don't have collision. We only, because they're older vehicles. We only have liability.
Well, what we do in that situation is we look for any possible insurance that may cover. So, first of all, you look at, okay, the guy who had the shed. I mean, was there any negligence with regard to how the shed was set up? Well, probably not, because we had 100-mile-per-hour winds that blew it.
They weren't strapped down.
Well, there could potentially be liability there. We would have to look at that more closely. So you said that, okay, the person who owned the shed, it wasn't strapped down, and it blew across the road or
several properties.
Into your vehicles.
Yep.
I mean, it typically would be your insurance that covers that. unless there's some potential liability of the person whose shed it was, and then some liability would fall there. But the likelihood that his insurance on his property is going to cover damage to your vehicle as a result of that, that's a little bit of a unusual triangle that, frankly, I would have to look at more closely.
How about Mike's own homeowner's insurance?
It would potentially provide some coverage. I mean, it happened on the property if mm-hmm. you have homeowner's insurance. So that goes back to the first thing I said. You look at any insurance that you have to determine whether it's covered. But if we're talking about paint jobs on vehicles, we got to look at deductible too.
Do you have a fairly good relationship with this neighbor at this point?
I went over there and he was kind of apologetic.
Yeah.
And he says send him some pictures, and when his appraiser gets out there, he would talk to him, but he didn't know it.
Well, that's great. I would try to keep that open, tell him how much you appreciate him being willing to talk to his insurance company about it and not close any doors, because your insurance, let's face it, because of you not having collision, just might not cover it. And his insurance company is probably the more likely place that there could be coverage. So I would try to do everything I can to keep that door open with him in terms of conversation and things of that nature, and then let us know how this turns forward.
Yeah.
I think you exhaust that, then you turn to your homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the order of things.
Plenty of pictures.
Plenty of pictures.
Plenty of pictures. I've got a door in the storm through the kitchen window, and then after the storm, and that's what I did. I provided them probably, I'd say maybe 50 to 75 pictures.
Oh, wow. So there's no doubt that it was his shed.
Angle.
Right.
There's no doubt that it was this other guy's shed, right?
Yeah. After the storm, I went over and I took a picture of his property and all the contents of what was left on the base.
And where it was located, so you can see where it used to be.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Mike, and let us know how that goes. And if you want to find out more, you want to call the folks at Harbell & Collins Attorneys at Law, and you can reach them for your questions as well, too. Give them a call at 252-726-9050.